Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with my Faith and Freedom Show. This is Preservative Talk Radio. Engaging these issues on a constitutional basis? Even a biblical basis? A basis of right versus wrong? Who knows? What I do before I attempt these... Oh, by the way, you can give me a call, 888-248-2046. Feel you want to interrupt, please do, because we can come back tomorrow and continue therein. Here, I'm going to discuss marriage. Before I went to the break, I was quoting Sir William Blackstone. What I do is I do research as to the history of things. That's why I bring up the Bible. I bring up the Constitution, but I don't use the Constitution as its own commentary. There are certain things that explain it. It explains itself in many cases. But in other cases, you have to know the language. When they used a word, it actually had meaning in law. So what I did is I began to study the things the founders were studying so I understood what they knew. And then I can understand what they say by what they knew. So with regard to marriage, just before I went to the break, Sir William Blackstone's commentaries on the law of England, the laws of England, were talking about that in civil law, marriage, they just look at it as a contract, not a sin or not to sin, you know, whether it is a sin or not a sin, that it's really the ecclesiastical courts that render punishment. They are the ministers of God for good for those things that would encourage people to do right rather than doing wrong. In this instance, well, I might have spoken too far in that, but let's just see what Sir William Blackstone said. First, he said they must be willing to contract. They must be able to contract as well. I'm going to back up a little bit just to see what... Oh, it says lastly. So willing to contract, I'm going to make that bold here, control B. Secondly, able to contract, control B. Lastly, actually did contract. That's how in civil law, able or willing and able, and you can't actually contract unless you're willing. And then you can't actually contract unless you are able. And then you can't contract unless you actually do. And those are the law of contract, willing, able, and do. So those are the three elements of civil law that you would, if they consider a marriage, it's something that is based on the law of contract. That's a very important item. I just want to mention there's something about contract law. If you and your, say, somebody, you're engaged in business and you have some event that you're doing and it's based upon a contract, it turns out that if you are offended by the person who you say violates the contract, if your contract is to do something that is unlawful, the contract is void. See, that's able, willing, able, and do. There's an able factor in there. If it is unlawful, the government is an entity of law, so it cannot put a blessing, its civil blessing, on something that is unlawful. So if you have an unlawful dispute between your neighbor, it's not anything that the civil government can do anything about. To contract, you must be willing, able, and actually perform. You must do it. That's a very important element. Test me on that. Go look it up. Some of you may have had that kind of situation where you brought something to a court hoping that they would solve your problem, and the court looks at it and goes, hey, you can't do this. What this contract asks for is something that is unlawful. So, by the way, dismissed. There's nothing we can do about it. Which one do you say is going to profit under this unlawful act? That's a principle. In contract, so if you're going to have a legitimatize something, how do you really make it legitimate if it's unlawful? Something to think about. Now, as he talks about able to contract, look at what the founders of this nation believed were those things that would make you unable to contract. Now, these disabilities are of two sorts. First, such as are canonical. I guess it's tough for me to say. I don't say it enough. That means from the church. In other words, the Pope, so to speak. Something out of the Bible, or actually under canon law, has said this is wrong. These are the boundaries. Based on the Bible, these are the boundaries that the church is going to enforce. This is one disability. Such are as canonical, and therefore sufficient by the ecclesiastical laws to avoid the marriage in the spiritual court. But these, in our law, only make the marriage voidable. Now, that's an interesting thing. This is good for your education. I had a lawsuit against the United States. We prevailed, of course, because it was right. The truth was absolutely, absolutely 100% on our side. All the right things. And I'm telling you what, the U.S. Attorney's Office lied and did all kinds of crazy things to disrupt, keep the court from actually seeing what was correct. But when we finally got it down there, we found out that, yes, the court realized, okay, Mr. Carmichael, you're absolutely right all the way. In every single point, we've got to have three different court judgments on your case because you're correct and you're correct and you're correct. But if there was a document that was created when the government did something wrong, it doesn't mean it gets fixed. You actually then have to sue on another point and say to go fix the document. And then it becomes voidable. So what happened is I had the government did something, and on the paperwork it said that what they did was correct. And of course it wasn't. And it didn't make that original paper void. It made it voidable. So I would have to do something to actually void it. And that's what it's talking about here. Therefore, sufficient by the ecclesiastical laws to avoid the marriage in spiritual court. And we'll see how this plays out and this how this used to work out in society and in law. And just recently, things are getting a little crazy. But these in our law make the marriage voidable. That's civil law only. And he says, not ipso facto void until the sentence of nullity be obtained. So you actually have to, they'd have to look at the facts and then say, yes, okay, what's our going? Okay, it's voidable and we shall make it void based on the facts. Of this nature, and these are the kind of things that he said would make it voidable, make a marriage voidable. There's some things that would make a marriage void void ab initio. So I said it's not ipso facto void. That's a nice little Latin term. There's this term called void ab initio. That means there's no lawful basis whatsoever. So on its face, from the very inception, ab initio, it is void. It isn't voidable because it was always void. Came up in Marbury versus Madison. These are important principles that the founders knew by reading Blackstone. And he lists the things that are voidable. Of this nature are pre-contract, consanguinity. I can't even say that. Consanguinity. I'll talk about that in some civil laws that are coming recently. Or relation by blood and affinity. Or relation by marriage and some particular corporal infirmities. Now listen to what he says. We'll come back to this list. He says, and these canonical disabilities are either grounded upon the express words of the divine law or are consequences plainly deducible from there, from thence, he said. So they had a worldview that was really framed from the Bible. Now the important thing is, if you want to get rid of that prohibition, those boundaries, you've got to cancel the Bible. You've got to make it in society considered to be void. And a lot of people don't realize how important it is to whether the Bible is true or not. If it's true, it ought to affect our life. And of course, it is, by the way. And if you apply it, you'll see the benefits. Okay? You reap what you sow. But if our society can say, no, it's not, science is the basis of our law. Well, actually, if science were the basis of your law, you'd know you didn't evolve. Okay? Doesn't work. It's contrary to the laws of thermodynamics. If you say that science is this the basis of our law is how we feel as a community, well, you've got a small group of people who run the cameras and the electricity and the videotape and the digital recordings and publish them on your cable TV, and they're all singing the same song. They're singing a chorus of hymns that hypnotize you and condition you to think a certain way. And it's becoming more and more popular. It's more accessible over the world. The same songs being sung. We used to in the 70s go, I like to teach the world to sing. And then even Coca-Cola caught that one. Say, hey, that's a nice jingle. Everybody's going to think about Coca-Cola. I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Okay. And keep it company. there's a jingle going around the world, and it's that it's being sung in China. Mao has it, a little hymn book, his little red book. And there's folks in Soviet Union, Lenin and Stalin, they just had these, they were just kept singing the book to society. Science is real, the Bible's false. The proletariat and society as we see it, as we want to frame it, those of us in control of the media, the propaganda, we're going to make you think and sing this song with us so that we're all singing in harmony. And you're going to eventually get hypnotized into sort of thinking what you're singing. So that's what we've been doing here. It's been happening in America. Mr. Obama, the President of the United States, and me, we both have been indoctrinated in the same way of thinking. I don't know. I must somebody give me an inoculation or something because it didn't affect me. I was not paying attention in school. So there's, I mean, almost, you know, I've had a little immunity from it. Hopefully it helps me be a little bit objective. But when we throw out the Bible, what we have to do, this means that all this is wrong. Okay? So he said that these things, these disabilities, and what are they? The pre-contract consanguinity, relation by blood, affinity, relationship by marriage. But you know what? That means if the Bible's not true, then who cares about consanguinity or relation by blood or affinity by marriage? Who cares? Who cares if you now, why not marry, if you're a guy, marry a woman, have her wife, and then marry her brother later? Why not? There's no reference. We can do whatever we want. In fact, Darwin said that. He says, without this belief in a divine judgment, retribution, and reward are the terms he used, then people will do, they will just lean to whatever their, he said, instincts and impulses. So we are having a society that's being conditioned to lean toward our impulses. And it's, so we've got to know the truth. You can't just, I'm kind of trying to interrupt the song. I'm trying to sing, I'm giving you what is called dissonance. The current thing that you're hearing in the media and is being repeated over and over and over and over again. Well, I believe this. Well, that's, boy, if you say that too, you're going to fit in. You're going to be popular. You won't get a C on your English paper in college. You'll get an A just because of what you think, what you say. So we're being conditioned to sing along. And I'm creating in this preservative talk radio a little dissonance. Dissonance. That's like Barney Fife trying to sing in the church choir. If you've ever seen those episodes, it just wasn't working. It's just grating on your nerves, okay? The only thing that we're going to be able to do, and I don't know if you know this in nature, I'm not a physics expert, but I have some semblance of understanding. I know the propagation of waves and things like that from being a sonarman. But there's this thing that you can understand where you create an oscillation or feedback, where you create a rhythm. And it, in fact, you might have seen the videos of that bridge. It was swinging someplace and it finally disintegrated because it just flexed beyond its ability to hold up. But it started oscillating in the wind and it got to a certain rhythm. And it just, it everything got in sync with it. And the only way to save that bridge would have been to break up that rhythm, to create a little dissonance, a little counter wave that would stop it. And I know there's mufflers that are making electronic waves for mufflers where the sound would come, the pressure would come from 180 degrees out. So it would stop the pressure wave and make your car very silent electronically. A lot of neat things going on. That's what we're doing here. Is somebody's put you guys in an oscillation, society general at large, America in oscillation on certain issues that they believe that they can't think a certain way or they're going to be ostracized and it's very painful. So what I'm hoping to do here is to give you some information that will make you think, whoa, there's some truth out there that, wow, what a nugget of gold, what a treasure. What if I uncover the buried treasure? So that's what we're doing for you. This is Preservative Talk Radio. David Allen Carmichael will be back. Check us out at preservativetalkradio.com.